Good Saturday morning to everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with the Director of Family Services at the CCA, Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron. Chris, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Well, I was going to ask you the same question. I'm hanging in there over here, my friend. How are you? First of all, where are you?
Well, I'm at an undisclosed location at the moment.
In a bunker somewhere, right?
No, I'm doing well, thanks. Doing well. Everything's good.
I'm very glad to hear that. What have you been up to?
We're just trying to keep things moving, trying to make sure that we're taking care of the families and everybody is happy, which seems to be working out. Everybody has been positive about all the things that the association's trying to accomplish, mm-hmm. So I'm happy about that. FSAs are doing well, and family seem to like them, so we're good.
Yeah, and I'm sure you heard the later on this month, on the 19th, we'll be able to not wear masks outdoors. A full capacity gatherings at ballparks and stadiums and concert events and at 100%.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I can handle it.
Well, hey.
No mask.
I know, man. Well, indoors, I think you may. Oh, yeah, you will have to. But I'll tell you, even that, I think will probably be lifted by the 4th of July, I think. So that'd be nice.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think it's great. I hope it does happen. I probably, just like you and everyone else who's listening, am really tired of wearing a mask.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
But got to do what you got to do, right?
No, of course. Yeah, that's what they're saying, you know. So last week we took a little sabbatical and brought you some Christian music to our audience. Now, today, of course, we're back.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
You like that, huh?
That was a real nice break. And I hope everyone who was listening enjoyed it. I think there were some wonderful Christian artists on there who have some not only great music, but great message in their work.
I heard that you selected a lot of that music.
Yeah.
Are you up on Christian rock?
You know what? Like everything else, I mean, I've got some favorites, some people that I really enjoy, not only because of their Catholic message, but also because of their skills and their talent. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, I was able to mention a few, and they ended up getting into the mix. So
good.
It was pretty nice. I enjoyed it.
I think a lot of other people did, too. Although, let's face it, you know, people miss you. They want to hear you. It was good to do 1 week. But there's no substitute for the man, the myth, the legend himself. So,
yeah, well, I don't know who that is, but I'll tell you, everybody else must be tired of hearing about me. So it was probably pretty good that they got a break for a week.
Oh, you know, people look forward to hear. Stop that. You're so self-deprecating, man. Folks, we are back today with lots going on with the CCA and Bishop Betancourt making appearances in two of your cemeteries. Chris, tell us about the events coming up on the 11th and I think also on the 20th.
Yeah, so on Tuesday, May 11th, mm-hmm. at Sacred Heart Cemetery in Meriden, Bishop Betancourt is going to honor us with an appearance to actually bless and dedicate our new section, which is devoted to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Sacred Heart Cemetery is located at 250 Gypsy Lane in Meriden. So if people who are listening would like an opportunity to not only participate in a wonderful dedication ceremony, but also have a chance to spend a little time with the bishop, then on May 11th at 10 o'clock, be there at Sacred Heart Cemetery, and it'll be a nice opportunity because after the dedication, there'll be a small reception outside, and hopefully we'll have good weather. It starts at 10 o'clock, so I would assume if everybody gets there a little bit ahead of time, then, it'll be really great.
Very nice.
And the exact same thing is happening in Bloomfield, which is right across the street at Mount St. Benedict Cemetery. Bishop Betancourt, again, will be dedicating another Our Lady of Guadalupe section. And I know you've been through, and I know some of the folks at the station have been through and seen the beautiful full-color monument that is the centerpiece for that section. So it's really something great.
In fact, I've got family buried, several family members buried at Mount St. Benedict.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I haven't been in there in, oh my goodness, was it last summer? It's almost been a year since I've actually been in it. But winter months, I would imagine, visiting graves are, not as common in the colder months, right?
Well, you know what? You'd be surprised. There are people that come every day regardless of what the weather's like the temperature, whether it's raining, whether it's sun, or whether it's snowing.
Wow.
And that's, it's almost like it's a family tradition that folks come and visit. Some people come visit every day. Some people are there every week. It doesn't matter. In terms of the general population, I think you're correct. Weather has a big impact.
Yeah, I would say.
If it's cold, wet, and rainy, you're not going to see a lot of people strolling the grounds. But you go out there now in the spring when the weather is so nice, and it is just packed. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see.
I'm glad to hear about that. Really,
so we also have... as a matter of fact, it ends tomorrow. We have a Mother's Day special that anyone who comes into the cemeteries and purchases a mausoleum crypt will get a free cameo, which that's over $500 in savings. So anytime you walk in, just grab hold of a family service advisor, get all the details, or you can visit us at our website, ccacem.org, and get all the information there. But it, like I said, I think it ends tomorrow, so...
Hey, better late than never, right?
Well, I think you guys have been saying a few things about that during the last week on the radio.
We have, actually. let's see here. You mentioned Our Lady of Guadalupe a moment ago. If you don't mind, let's start there. Let's tell us about her. Maybe there's a story about Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Our Lady of Guadalupe is actually, it's a fascinating story. I'll give you a little bit of detail. Back in 1531, December 9th, actually, the Virgin Mary appeared to a peasant whose name happened to be Juan Diego on a hill in called the Hill of Tepeyac near Mexico City. And she spoke to him in his native language and said that she wanted a church built on this site.
Mm-hmm.
So Juan Diego, of course, was a little bit shocked. But he runs back and goes to the Archbishop of Mexico, and he says, this is what happened. So, of course, the Archbishop was somewhat skeptical about the whole thing and said, look, I need some kind of proof. So he goes back to the hilltop, and once again, Our Lady appears to him and tells him that she asked her son to heal his uncle from the cancer that was running rampant through his body, which Jesus did. Additionally, the Virgin told Juan Diego to pick Castilian roses on top of the hill. Well, first off, the hill is normally barren. There is nothing that grows there. And second, it was the dead of winter. So it's a miracle in and of itself that in the middle of December there were roses there.
Wow.
Juan Diego picks all these roses, returns to the bishop. Now, what he did was are you familiar with what a tilde is? It's a Mexican garment that's kind of like a poncho, but it's a little more colorful, and it's made out of material rather than some water-resistant material. So what he did was he gathered up all these roses and basically made a pouch in his garment and folded it up in there and went back to the archbishop.
Mm-hmm.
When he approached the archbishop, he dropped the front of his tilde open, and the roses came tumbling out. So the bishop was shocked that in dead of winter he would find these roses. But that wasn't the end of the miracle, because when the roses fell to the ground, the colorful tilde that he was wearing now bore a resemblance of the Mother of God, who was with child. And that image is what we call the Our Lady of Guadalupe. So there's really a lot of stories that are associated with this. But basically, when the bishop saw this, he immediately said, okay, we need to build this church. So they went up to the top of that hill and started building a church, which today is now actually a basilica. And it is the most visited Catholic pilgrimage site in the world.
Wow, that's incredible.
But there's some very interesting stories about that tilde and about this whole thing. The garment that Juan Diego was wearing is on display in the Basilica. It remains in the exact same condition today as it was in the 1500s. No decay of any of the material, and the image that is on it is just as vibrant as it was the first day.
So I'm curious, how is it able to be so well preserved all these centuries later?
So that's kind of what we call a miracle. I'm being facetious, but it's true. I mean, it shouldn't. It should have fallen apart a long time ago.
Of course.
But it hasn't. And it hasn't decayed or at all, which is fascinating. Now, over the years, there have been many types of analyses, dozens of times, over the centuries of this garment.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first being there was no decay was one result. Second, when they looked at the eyes of Our Lady under a microscopic view, they could see the reflection of the bishop and his aides in the room that she would have been staring at if it was her there. Okay? So when the tilde opened and the roses fell to the floor, the bishop was staring at that with his aides. You can see that reflection in Our Lady's eyes.
Oh, thank goodness.
Which is phenomenal. Next, no ink can be attributed to the design of Our Lady. In other words, the image is seared into the material, but there's no discernible coloration of any kind of the fabric.
Hmm.
And of course, back in the 1500s, it's not like there was these photographic elements that you could do all this weird stuff with
right.
today. So there was just no accounting for this type of image to be present.
Where is the Basilica?
The Basilica is just outside of Mexico City. So Juan Diego was actually canonized in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
The cloak is on display at the Basilica, and it is now in a climate-controlled, bulletproof casing that people can come to visit. But here's something that's interesting. Even though it's the most visited pilgrimage site in the world, you know, obviously there's a lot of people who can't make it down to Mexico. So the Mexican Church, Catholic Church, decided that they were going to make three copies, large copies, full-size copies of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe to be pilgrim traveling images so that the faithful all around the world could see what this image was.
Mm-hmm.
These images are 6 foot tall, almost 4 feet wide, and they travel all around the world. Interestingly enough, these images have been attributed numerous miracles over the years. So when people come and see them, because they're either in churches or in private homes, etc., I've had the privilege of having this image in our prayer group for a weekend. And it's a striking visage of Our Lady. I mean, it's just amazing. And when you touch it and venerate it, it's like, wow, there's this feeling that's just, you just can't imagine it. So there's three of them, and they travel around the world constantly. They have a guardian, and that guardian is responsible for getting it to and from different places and travels in the United States and all over the world. So it's very interesting that not only there's been at least, I mean, there's hundreds of miracles that have been associated with Our Lady of Guadalupe's image, but now these copies that have been traveling around the world, the same thing has been happening. So it's pretty exciting. So Our Lady of Guadalupe is considered the patron saint of Mexico, not surprisingly. She's also considered the patron saint of the Americas and also of the unborn. So she's also become, obviously, a symbol for the pro-life movement. So the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City is the most visited Catholic shrine that receives multiple millions of pilgrims every year. And the feast day is on December 17th.
That's
so it's really quite a story.
Yeah, I was right about to say that is, you know, an amazing story.
It is. I've never seen the actual tilde. I've never been to Mexico.
That was my next question. Yeah.
To visit. I would love to. And you know what? It's funny. In my previous life, I used to travel to Mexico City all the time on business. But you know how it is when you're traveling on business. You generally don't have a lot of time to go sightseeing. So I would never even thought about the opportunity. But
Yeah, that was my next question. Was if
kind of sorry that I didn't
seen it in person, but
yeah.
You know, here we are in the month of May, though. So let's stay on course here and maybe discuss the other most popular apparitions of Mary. So if we went in chronological order, I think the next most popular would be Our Lady of Lourdes, right? If you can talk about that a little bit.
So Our Lady of Lourdes, back in 1858, actually on February 11th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, there was this young poor girl named Bernadette Soubry, and she was out in a grotto collecting firewood with her sister and another friend, and all of a sudden saw this vision of a lovely lady who was just standing there praying the rosary. So Bernadette was just taken aback by this, didn't speak to her, and the lady didn't say anything to her. So she went back, and she basically told her parents of what she had seen. And in response, her parents forbade her from going back to that grotto. And they said, no, you can't go back there. You know, this is terrible. But after a couple of days, they decided, all right, you can go back now. So she went back on February 14th, and once again, the lady appeared. And it happened again on February 18th. And on this third visit, on February 18th, she asked Bernadette to come back to the grotto every day for the next 2 weeks. And what she did was she pointed to a rock and said, if you will, you know, touch that rock, you will receive spring water running from it. And she did, and all of a sudden, this spring rock started to throw out water, and this big spring was created. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what Our Lady told Bernadette was that she should be praying for the conversion of sinners, and that people, that she and people should come and drink this spring water that she had revealed to her inside this grotto. Well, word of these apparitions spread pretty quickly because this was basically a small little town at that time, and it caused quite a stir. In response, Bernadette was arrested.
Oh boy.
And detained by and harassed by civil authorities as if she was some kind of a common criminal. And it's because there was a political disfavor of such a public speaking about miracles or, you know, religious icons, etc. Well, the villagers got really ticked off about the fact that she was arrested and basically stormed the jail and said, you better release her. So they ended up releasing her. So she went back and for those 14 days and had the opportunity to meet with Our Lady. Now, many people, again, believed that it was Mary who was appearing to her, even though she hadn't said that. So they came down in large numbers to the grotto to pray. Now, the only person who could see her was Bernadette. So the spring that the lady had asked Bernadette to drink from quickly revealed itself to be water that was blessed and had miraculous healing properties. So more and more people were coming now and being healed at this spring. So on March 25th, which was the last of the apparition days, the lady identified herself to Bernadette and called herself the Immaculate Conception. Now, what's interesting is that just a couple of years prior, Pope Pius IX had just officially pronounced that the Immaculate Conception was infallible dogma. And it was declared that the Blessed Mary Virgin, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and in view of merits of Jesus Christ, would be firmly and constantly believed by all the faithful as being immaculately conceived. Which, you know, the timing of this is quite interesting. One of the things that Our Lady told Bernadette was that I'm not going to make you any promises that you'll be happy in this world, but you will be in the other. And what ended up happening is that Bernadette ended up suffering terribly in the short life that she had, suffering great pains and chronic poor health. And she constantly lived under the suspicion of other people because, you know, she was given the grace of these visions of the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 4 years after the apparitions that the local bishop ruled that the apparitions were authentic. And what ended up happening was St. Bernadette eventually, as she grew older, entered a religious order. And she continued to suffer physically, uniting herself to Christ through that suffering, and ended up dying in her 30s at a very young age.
Oh.
So if you go to Lourdes today, there's a gorgeous church that's built right in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And the feast day for these miracles for St. Bernadette is February 18th. So it's really quite a story.
Wow, yes. It is.
And the Bureau of Lourdes, Medical Bureau of Lourdes, has documented so far over 70 miraculous healings at the site, which has nothing to say about those that have occurred around the world, because people have been drank the water that people have bottled up and taken with them.
Incredible.
It's really quite interesting.
Yeah, it really is. Folks, you're listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show with Chris Radlitz, the Director of Family Services of the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. And we're running out of time, but I know you've talked about Our Lady of Fatima on the show, I think a few times. And I think that you shared that it's a destination on your list, and just maybe in the next 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
I know we're running out of time, but what makes that so special for you?
So, yeah, Our Lady of Fatima, I guess there's a lot of things. May 13th of 1917, where these three little shepherd children, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, were, just walking along, and all of a sudden, there they saw this image of a lady who was standing there praying a rosary. And I guess the big story about it is that she told them that she wanted to see them every day on the 13th of the month for the next 6 months. Okay? So every day on the 13th of the month, they would show up. And this woman, who had not identified herself yet, told the children certain secrets, the three secrets that you may hear about of the Fatima secrets. And she basically told them that they should devote themselves to the Holy Trinity, pray the rosary every day, because prayer would end the great war that was still raging. Of course, at that time was World War I.
Mm-hmm.
So the first secret was she showed them a vision of hell and basically told them that they needed to be praying for people for the salvation of their souls, and that people needed to repent and convert in order to save themselves from this horrible fate. The second secret that was revealed was a recommendation that there be an intense devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary as a way to save souls and bring peace to the world. She predicted that the Great War would end, meaning World War I, but predicted a much worse one would occur if people did not stop offending God.
Oh.
And of course, 20 years later, the Second World War started. And one of the things she said was that second war would be presaged by a night of illumination by an unknown light as a great sign that the time of chastisement was near. Well, wouldn't you know it, on January 25th in 1938, the Aurora Borealis, which normally appears just over the northern hemisphere in a small area, was so bright that it went as far south as North Africa, Bermuda, California, and that was considered this night of illumination. And 1 month later, Hitler seized Austria, which was, of course, the beginning of World War II. And then the third secret was a vision of the death of the Pope. And it was the Pope being shot. So I don't know if you recall. Well, first off, that vision, that secret was not allowed to be released to the public until after 1960. That's what Our Lady told Lucia. So it turns out that the Vatican chose not to release it,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't release it until June of 2000. And I guess the reason that they did was that, if you may recall, again on May 13th, in 1981, Pope John Paul II was shot. And he was shot four times by a Turkish assassin. And it was said that Mary's hand guided the bullets at impossible angles to not hit any major organs, even though he suffered massive blood loss. So that was considered to be the fulfillment of the third secret that was entrusted to these three children.
Mm.
What was really interesting is that she told the children that on the sixth visit, which was October 13th, she would perform a miracle for people to understand and believe. So October 13th, 1917, over 100,000 people showed up. And what has become known as the miracle of the sun occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happens is people were staring up at the sun. So first, they could look at the sun without their eyes being harmed.
I'm running out of time. Go ahead really quick.
Okay. Secondly, the sun danced across the sky and then rushed towards Earth. And the reason that was interesting is it was pouring rain. The grounds were soaked. The sun literally came right next to the Earth, dried everything up, and then jumped back up into the sky where it belonged. And the reason this was fascinating is, like I said, between 75 to 100,000 people witnessed this.
Incredible.
There's articles written about it from newspapers that were there and pictures taken.
Folks,
you are
listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, and you can check out their website at www.ccacem.org. Again, it is ccacem.org. Also, you can email them. Maybe you can even get a question answered on these very airwaves. It's very easy to do. Just email us at ccawdrc@gmail.com. Again, ccawdrc@gmail.com. And if you'd like to make an appointment with the Catholic Cemeteries Association, call them toll free at 800-505-0080. Again, toll free, 1-800-505-0080. For Chris Radulis, the Director of Family Services of the Catholic Cemeteries Association, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening. Until next Saturday morning, everybody, have a good one. So long.